Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's like some NFL match game, trying to find the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And you got Deion Sanders sitting out there with some cryptic messages from the people closest to Deion. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I promise we'll get into games. We got divisional round. They call this the best weekend in the NFL. We still have a national champion and college football that needs to get resolved, Pearl. But, you know, for now, the news about the Dallas Cowboys parting ways with Mike McCarthy, and then the fact that Deion Sanders gets linked to the team because of a conversation with Jerry Jones, not hours, mere hours after they say goodbye to McCarthy, it's fascinating.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize.
No one's saying no.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize for talking Cowboys today. You got Deion Sanders, you got the Dallas Cowboys. I don't care if the Cowboys are slipping in popularity, which seems like they are. This is like a perfect storm. It'd be 90% of media would be following these two people, Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders. But there, you have to admit, we've been talking about this all week. There is a lot of logic there.
Okay. So I'm somebody who can see the path, right? I can see the path, how this would work. I said yesterday, Deion Sanders has impressed me with the assistant coaches that he's brought into Colorado. You know, they're taking care of a lot of the X's and O's. I don't think Deion's like that great of a game manager, and I think there's a lot to be desired, but listen, there's no doubt that the team, you know, is pulling in the right direction. They can be disciplined, all that stuff. He can be the leader of men guy, and he's got his Hall of Fame resume to lean back on when you're trying to get the attention of people in the room. So there's a lot of reasons why this can work, and he and Jerry are obviously simpatico, at least now. They don't work together every day, but at least now they're simpatico, and they've kept this relationship going for decades and decades. The one thing about this that I've been really surprised by, it appears that this is Dallas Cowboy fans' worst nightmare.
Like, Deion.
Deion. I don't know if you're picking up on this, but
no.
I felt like I picked up on this a lot yesterday. This was met by the Cowboy fans in my life, at least, and I feel like I have a pretty good idea about this. This was met with a collective groan. And that's not because you don't appreciate what Deion was as a player, and it's not that you don't like Deion Sanders. They just, Cowboy fans don't want this, is the overwhelming sense that I get. Stop making our team a sideshow. We actually want to win a Super Bowl. And Deion Sanders hasn't proven at the college level that he can be a winner. He can improve a program, and they're off to a great start at Colorado. Let's see what they look like without Shador. Let's see what they look like without Travis Hunter. But Urban Meyer won national championships, couldn't do it at the NFL level for a lot of different reasons. It's so hard for college coaches to come to the NFL and be successful. Why would Deion be any different than like the average, which is less than 50-50, it feels like.
Well, so, but with one thing, Deion's an NFL legend. Urban had no connection to the NFL.
That is true.
I mean, but, and Deion played there, so I think it changes everything a little bit.
Okay, maybe. I don't know about you, but I felt like from the Cowboy fans, forget what we want, the media, yes, of course, do we want this? We'd give our left arm for this. We love this. For the fans, though, the ones that really live and die with this team and the ones that are really invested, and it pains them that they have not been back to the NFC title game at the minimum in 30 years. The fact that Deion now is the guy, or is one of the top candidates. He's not the guy. He's one of the top candidates. Has been met with a collective eye roll.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Right. Like, this is that. Like, we buy tickets for this. Like, we actually buy jerseys. We buy tickets. We're the ones who are sweating this out every year. And you're going to take a guy and get rid of Mike McCarthy, who everyone, I think, was ready for a change. But the guy was winning games, and you're going to do that and go completely 180 to go with Deion Sanders, who has a very different personality than Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, but I think Deion obviously seems like adding to the circus, right? That's what they would say.
Right.
I do think, though, that there is also fatigue amongst the Dallas Cowboys fan, and maybe I'm putting myself in their shoes, of the same old boring hire.
Okay.
Like McCarthy, boring. Jason Garrett, boring. Chan Gailey, boring. Dave Campo, boring. Wade Phillips, beyond boring.
Oh, Wade's a great interview, though.
Wade Phillips is
a funny dude, but
literally the most boring hire any team could ever make in the history of the world. Like, Jerry one time stepped out of his lane with Bill Parcells.
Yeah,
the rest of
that
them
was not boring.
The rest of them, he just wants somebody he's comfortable with. And I think there are fans are like, just don't do the same thing again. Like, don't run it back, a guy you can control. They don't want a puppet. So maybe there's hope that Deion, the one thing that gives me hope for Deion as a Cowboys coach, and I don't think it's still unlikely, you know.
They're dancing around each other. No one's saying no.
It still seems like there's a long way to go before Deion Sanders is the head coach. But the one thing I do, he went into Colorado day one, cut the entire team. Like, the Cowboys need some of that energy. Like, they need to reset the energy in that building,
for sure. But he's not going to have any control over that. Like, Deion went into Colorado and told everybody, you better hit the portal. He can't do anything about the roster in Dallas.
I think he can influence Jerry a little bit. They're good friends. Like, I think he could be like, he could scare people a little bit, a lot more than some like Kellen Moore or Cliff Kingsbury can.
Sure.
I think Deion has a little more oomph. I think
definitely more oomph, definitely more cachet, definitely more, you know, I don't know, attention.
I think Bill Belichick or Deion could go in there and scare people a little more than the hot offensive coordinator. That's what I'm saying. I think there's a hope that it's a radical change. I mean, honestly, like, Deion, who would have expected him to take Colorado from a 2-win team to a 9-win team?
A one-win team.
Yeah. So I just think it's a little better than Jerry's traditional hire in some senses. Now, listen, it's a big leap. I mean, it's like Deion Sanders has not coached in the NFL. Deion Sanders runs a very unorthodox program at Colorado. You mentioned he has like 10 former assistants. He just does it way differently than all the other candidates, right?
Yeah, but I like that. See, I think that's the number one thing in Deion's corner. Like, you look at some of these assistant coaches who are going to get hired. Like, what happened with Gerard Mayo, right? Gerard Mayo failed for a few reasons, one of which is that he had only spent time with the Patriots and didn't have any Rolodex of assistant coaches. Defense coordinator was first-time coordinator. Offense coordinator was first-time play caller. Special teams guy was a first-time special teams. Like, no.
But was it Mayo, the defensive coordinator?
Well, he was the head coach, but they actually had a defensive coordinator. It was his first time in the role. Deion, at least, he brings with him good assistant coaches.
Yeah, but he's never coordinated either side of the ball. And he's never even Matt Rhule. Like, he's not even like a... He's never done any of the traditional things a coach does, I don't think.
Yeah, well, he's just been Deion Sanders. And I guess the other part, too, that would be in his favor, like, we're not totally knocking this idea. It just, I feel like Cowboy fans are knocking the idea way more than people like us. But I think the other part is you have a program in Colorado that beyond Shador and Travis Hunter were really built on transfers. That was the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They kind of cycled in and cycled out three quarters of the roster, and they did that in two separate years. That is can be a little bit more like the NFL. You're trying to get this group of guys to gel really fast. The Cowboys do have centerpieces. You've got Dak Prescott, you've got Lamb, you've got Micah Parsons. You have like the trifecta here of modern NFL football: quarterback, wide receiver, pass rusher. And they have an offensive line that needs to gel, but there's promise there. It's like the last thing I worry about with the Dallas Cowboys, that the offensive line isn't going to come together. I have 30 years of evidence that the offensive line is going to be fine. So
why does it feel like you have the NFL trifecta, and then you list the trifecta of Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons? Why does that fall just a little flat?
I think because Dak's coming off an injury.
Yeah, and also, too, like, they've had those three and not been a contender.
Well, but they were... Okay, I disagree about not being a contender. They've been a 12-win team that had some 1.5 very unfortunate playoff losses. The Packers and the first San Francisco loss.
That
to
wasn't
Jimmy
unfortunate.
Garoppolo.
They got their butts kicked in that game. They were behind.
That was a close game.
Yeah, it was a close game, but that wasn't unfortunate. Like, they lost to a really good team, a much tougher team,
okay,
in my opinion.
So you'll say one bad loss because there was no way they were beaten in San Francisco the year the 49ers went to the Super Bowl.
But we now know they were not within 10 miles of winning the Super Bowl with any of those years. Like, they weren't even in the same universe as winning a Super Bowl. They didn't win a playoff game. Do you think they were going to?
Well, they won against the Bucs. And then went on to lose to San Francisco. They played San Francisco close in both of those playoff games. It was the Packer one that was the real... It started with San Francisco. You lose to Jimmy Garoppolo. No one thought you were losing that game. But, you know, honestly, that 49er team was really close to going to the Super Bowl that year. If they beat the Rams in the NFC Championship game, and they basically had the ball in their hands. And then the next year, you lost to the eventual Super Bowl runner-up. And that you lost to the Packers. I'm sorry. I'm getting my years confused. You lost to Jimmy Garoppolo, and then you lost to Brock Purdy, and then you lost to the Packers. Right? Thank you, EJ, for the heads up. Yes. One of those was really bad, the Packers one. And honestly, I think we all thought McCarthy was getting fired after that. Anyway, the bottom line is I'd love to hear from Cowboy fans.
Yeah.
Because I think that we were more excited on the outside about Deion. I think Cowboy fans have met this with a collective groan. Like, oh, God. We're doing this?
But I feel like there's... Yeah, I feel like Cowboys fans are going to meet any hire with a collective groan. Seriously. Like, there's not one person that has a realistic chance of being a Cowboys coach that they're not going to... Because what is... It doesn't matter. You can hire... You could hire 2001 Bill Belichick. What is the issue here?
Jerry.
You can hire anybody you want. You could bring in Deion. Like, that's like, at least Deion's a swing for the fences that somebody will counterbalance Jerry. But honestly, I'm not even sure that would happen. The Jerry-ness of it all is overwhelming the whole situation. So I'll bet you Cowboys fans, if you, in an honest moment, be like, yeah, I'm probably going to be disappointed in anybody because I don't know if there's anybody who can come in here and save this situation.
855-212-4227. All right, let's trace this thing back a little bit, okay? Deion didn't just materialize out of thin air as a potential candidate. We talked about it earlier this season. Let's hear some sound. So here's Michael Irvin, teammate of Deion, hinting that Deion is talking to Jerry Jones about the Cowboys head coaching job. And this was November of 2024. It was during the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight that was on Netflix.
Everybody loves and respect Jake also for what he's done here. To have an ability to not go the normal route and still end up right here, you give him respect. I give him respect like I give my great guy Deion Sanders, who didn't go the normal route, who I'm going to be in Jerry's ear about later. That's just something else we're talking about.
Legacy doesn't mean nothing.
Thank you. We needed a little mic there. Okay, so that's Michael Irvin kind of bringing up Deion Sanders out of the blue, sitting in Jerry World and watching this Tyson fight. Here's Michael Irvin on Colin Cowherd from this week. Excuse me. Still back in November, Michael Irvin clarifying the comments on Cowherd.
That if Shadur went to the Cowboys, Deion would accept the job.
I believe 100%, and I can tell you, good sources have told me that. Great sources have told me that. That's all I can say like that without violating anything else.
Okay. I wonder who those sources are.
Wait. We don't need Michael Irvin to tell us. The question was, if Shadur goes to the Cowboys, would Deion coach the Cowboys?
That was from November, though. We didn't know how the draft was going to play out at that point.
Yeah, because, again, right, the Cowboys were falling. Everybody was talking about Deion. Like, yeah, of course if Shadur goes there. But anyway, okay. We don't need Irvin talking to Deion for that one. But go ahead.
We're building a case. Here's more from Michael Irvin. This one is on FS1's show, Speak for Yourself. And that was yesterday. Here's yesterday, Michael Irvin.
When I talked to Deion this morning, he said, now, listen, I can tell you this, we did talk and these things, but Michael, that's it. We can't go any farther with it. I was like, no. I know I got a big mouth. I won't go too far with it, but I appreciate you telling me that because that means good conversations are being had, not just a conversation. Good conversations are being had. And I want to shed E up and make sure those conversations keep E going, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Last one for you. This is First Take yesterday. So here's Stephen A., presumably has a relationship with Deion. So Deion does not need to be coaching Shadur to be the Cowboys' next head coach.
Evidently, you're prepared to coach without him on a collegiate level. Why wouldn't you be unprepared to coach or to coach without him on an NFL level? I don't believe that one second.
Yeah.
I believe if Jerry Jones offers Deion Sanders this job, Deion Sanders gonna take it.
Okay. So that's Stephen A's point, which is Deion's about to coach Colorado without Shadur and without Travis. Why wouldn't he take a prestige job like the Dallas Cowboys without Shadur and Travis?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, maybe somebody's feeding that to Stephen A. Maybe he came up with it on his own, or maybe this is Deion saying, why wouldn't I? Look at what I'm about to do.
But there's a lot of logic here. When you put it that way, like if not having Shadur and Travis and Shiloh at Colorado Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm going to be an empty nester someday. Why not take a risk? It does seem...
Sarah moving to Aruba or something?
Yeah, I mean, Colorado does have a lot of assets that they've been able to collect, but that's a really good point. Like, if Shador's not there, maybe his tie to Colorado won't be as strong. I feel like he's done a really good job this offseason so far at Colorado, so it's kind of hard for me to imagine that he's going to walk away for that unless it's the Cowboys. Like, I was actually wondering, sorry, just to change the topic a little, why isn't he pushing to get to a team where Shador could possibly be drafted?
We don't know where he's going to go yet.
Because, the first two teams, the Titans and the Browns, already have coaches. Yeah, it's too late for the Titans to fire their coach to bring in Deion, right?
Well, yeah, and also, here's the thing. I don't think the Titans are really that well run.
Well, yeah, but is it all about getting Shador, though? Like, is Michael Irvin kind of hinted.
Yeah.
Shador's such a big part of this conversation that, say the Cowboys did offer him a job, but Shador was somewhere else, would he still be eyeing that job where Shador is?
Maybe. I mean, that coach has got to be looking over their shoulder from the moment that they draft Shador. That'd be number one.
Or if you draft Shador and Deion takes the Cowboys job, are you worried that Shador is just waiting until he gets to his fourth year so he can go join the Cowboys?
Why wait? I watch Archie Manning put Eli Manning in New York. I feel like I watch LeBron James get Bronny drafted. There are certain people in sports that are just more powerful than other people. And Deion, I think, has that kind of power because he has the power of the microphone.
Wow.
And if he has Jerry behind him, who's also one of the most powerful owners in the NFL, I think we have to wait to see who trades up in this draft and how the board shakes out.
Can that entice Cowboys fans to be more excited about Deion, that maybe you bring Shador there eventually?
So the one part about this that people will always bring up when I bring up Shador and the Cowboys is you've already got Dak under contract. You have CeeDee Lamb. You're going to have Michael Parsons under contract. You have this win-now roster. Like, why are you giving away draft capital for a future quarterback? Like, it does not make sense from a team-building standpoint. It does not.
Win what now? You have a win-now roster? Get out of here.
It's closer to a win-now than it is a rebuild when you have the most expensive quarterback, the second most expensive wide receiver, and soon to be the most expensive pass rusher.
Yeah, but the reality is I don't feel like they're set up to win now. Like, win at the highest level. That's what I keep saying. The Cowboys need a reset. They need to rebuild.
Perlhoff, let that go.
That's not going to happen.
That dream of yours needs to die. They're not going to reset.
My dream was this fall when Irvin was talking about Deion, like, bring in Belichick and just really build a champion. Build a champion. But you're right. They don't want to be irrelevant. You've always said they just want to be a playoff team.
They just want us talking about it.
But they need to start over if they want to be a Super Bowl team. They really need to kind of clear out some of the debris of the last 5 years. Like,
that ship sailed the moment they gave Dak $60 million.
Your big three of Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons is not convincing me. First of all, I feel like all three are on separate pages. Like, that is not a big three. Like, Mike is off on his own planet. He's and CeeDee Lamb will start crying once the playoffs start. And Dak's muscle came off his bone. Like, what are we doing here? It just doesn't feel like a Super Bowl trio to me.
Here we go!
And I had another thought about the Dak Prescott injury. When we saw Deshaun Watson get re-injured, I'm like, that never even occurred to me. What if Dak just re-injures this?
That's a crazy scenario. You think Dak Prescott's going to get hurt? I'm being sarcastic. But also, the other thing, too, is he can't run anymore. He's a totally different quarterback.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. The phones, why not? Let's do it. We're talking about Shador and Deion, just Deion, taking over as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Brad's in Alabama. Brad, I thought the Cowboy fans kind of didn't love this idea about Deion coaching the team. What about you?
Well, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I've just not seen anything Deion hadn't tried that he hadn't been successful at. I think Deion would be a better motivator than Mike Tomlin. Not saying he's an X and O guy, but I think he could motivate men to play football.
Brad, I think it's a great point. And the problem is, I think the X's and O's, though, matter. Like, a lot. And I think you need really good assistant coaches. You got to empower them. And, you know, at Perloff, the NFL, look at what we're watching, what we're probably going to watch this divisional round. You're going to tell me that we're not going to come in here Monday morning and talk about a bonehead decision that a coach made, a going forward on fourth down when they shouldn't have, calling timeout, not calling timeout, all this stuff. I do think the X's and O's do matter at the NFL level.
Counter argument. Nick Sirianni is the second winningest active coach in the NFL right now.
You're right. Sometimes it's
another counter argument. Dan Campbell doesn't really seem to have the playbook right in front of him. Dan Campbell's got the two best assistants in the NFL. They're Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson are doing the work. So you might have the two NFC title teams might not have X's and O's coaches.
That is true.
Andy Reid is very good at play calling, and also Harbaugh is a motivator. I don't think Harbaugh is he flits around to offense and defense. And Sean McDermott, I don't know what he does.
Defensive.
Yeah,
calls timeout before any big anything happens. Sean, let it go.
That was just a dig at your Bills coach.
Yeah, thank you. No, don't you notice? Well, we'll get to that later.
But yeah, we had Matt Mosley on yesterday, Cowboys Report. He said a motivator is what they want.
Yeah, Matt also brought up a candidate that, I'm going to be honest, I was not thinking about. Yeah. And it's not somebody who's been talked about that much during this cycle. And in fact, it's somebody who's trying to dig themselves out of a big personal scandal. So we'll talk about that next. But Cowboy fans, are you excited about Deion? I'm telling you, I was not getting that yesterday. I was getting, oh, come on. Like, oh, come on. This is what we're going to do? And as much as you try to talk yourself into Deion, I think that some Cowboy fans are just not going to see him as the guy who's going to get this team to the Super Bowl. But Brad makes a good point. What has Deion failed at? Prime Academy, probably. One of those high schools. But beyond that, I mean, all of the other stuff seems good.
I have no idea.
What about
idea.
His music career?
I mean, yeah. What happened at NFL Network? I don't even remember. Did he just leave into coaching? Yeah.
I don't really know how that ended.
Yeah.
And to be fair, even for Deion's music career, he was on SNL.
Yeah, but I don't think that's part of the calculus here. What has he ever failed at? Like,
his music career is not part of the calculus?
No. I mean, the coaching. Like, I think that going to 9-3 at Colorado, I do think, like, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on that. Like, who they play. Like, did he really build a great team there? Was he, you mentioned it, is he a good X and O coach? There's going to be a deep dive on the Colorado because it's not like Colorado, you should mention Urban Meyer. It's not like they won the title or anything. They were 9-3 in the Big 12.
855-212-4227. All right, let us know what you think. If you're a Cowboy fan, do you want Deion Sanders as your head coach? 855-212-4227 is the number to call. And also, we've got the surprise candidate that Cowboys reporter Matt Mosley brought up to us yesterday. Kind of problematic, maybe, maybe not. Maybe we're all moving on. We'll get to that next. It's MMP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We're debating, would Deion Sanders be a good hire for the Cowboys? Maggie says there's an army of Cowboys fans in her life who aren't into it. Nope. I'm curious who they are into, because whatever it is, I don't think they're going to get the person they want. That's the way the Cowboys operate. Deion, I do think there's some Deion fans. Just something. Give me something different. Don't give me Mike McCarthy 2.0.
Right. You know, but to be fair, I don't want to revisionist history of this. I actually thought McCarthy was a very good hire. It made sense. You had a guy who was coming off a long run in Green Bay, had been successful. It ends. You wear out, you know, you just, guys have to go their separate ways. Your message gets stale. Maybe he and Rodgers weren't getting along. Who knows? And then you take a year off, recharge, and then you hire that guy. That's kind of like the best case scenario in terms of hiring. Like, I'm not going to kill the Joneses for hiring Mike McCarthy. That felt right at the time. It felt like a smart, prudent move.
Yeah.
He's an offensive guy. He's great with quarterbacks. Like, that made a lot of sense to me.
I didn't like it at the time. I was like, okay, maybe you're going to milk out a wild card round here. And your offense is good. But honestly, who is more important, McCarthy or Dan Quinn?
Yeah, listen, McCarthy was at first, it was it Mike Nolan? Who was the original defensive coordinator?
You're right. I think it was Mike Nolan.
And like, there was a mutiny, and then they had to bring in Dan Quinn.
I don't think they were as close. I mean, they had these crazy easy schedules throughout the 12-5 run. The division's terrible for the most part. You got 2 wins over the Giants and 2 wins over the Commanders every year. So that's 4-0 immediately. I don't think they've been that good of a team. Honestly, McCarthy, I don't think they were. You and I think disagree how close they were to a Super Bowl under Mike McCarthy. I think they were miles and miles away.
I don't know. I watched them beat the Detroit Lions in Dallas last year. Oh, not this year. This year they got smoked by the Lions. But last year I watched them beat the Lions. I mean,
because Dan Campbell went insane in the middle
still,
of the game.
I watched them win that. I felt like, yeah, they were overmatched against San Francisco. That was always the big thing. They could not beat the 49ers.
I think it was they were overmatched. There was no way that team was getting through the playoffs. They just were not built that way. Honestly, the other thing, too, is like they were so strategically, like, just double team CeeDee Lamb, and the Cowboys have no idea what to do.
The question is, Cowboy fans, are you excited about the idea of Deion Sanders? Obviously, we have a lot between here and there, and there's another candidate that was brought up yesterday that I don't think you and I had on our radar for this job.
No.
So Matt Mosley covers the Cowboys for...
All right, it's a Doomsday podcast with Ed Werder, Central Texas ESPN Radio.
Yeah,
he's covered the Cowboys on and off for 25 years.
Yeah, like this...
Knows Jerry, knows everybody.
In the building, every day, knows what's going on as much as anybody who's covering the Cowboys. Here's the name that he brought up that had us kind of stopped us in our tracks, and the name was John Gruden. John Gruden as the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and this is why Matt thinks it will work.
I really think he wants back in, and I think Jerry's the one guy that can make it happen, because while it was, you know, it was a very rough deal when he was fired from the Raiders and the NFL basically seemingly forced that with some of those emails and things that came out in the controversy off the field. I think Jerry does not mind things like that. Like, Jerry would almost delight in making Roger Goodell uncomfortable.
That was Matt Mosley. Jerry Jones would delight in making Roger Goodell uncomfortable, because if people don't remember the email situation, it was emails when John Gruden was working for ESPN. He was writing these emails to Bruce Allen, who was the head of the Washington football team at the time. And he said a lot of bad things. There were some racist things about Demora Smith, who was the head of the NFLPA. There were homophobic things, and specifically referring to Goodell with a homophobic slur. And I think people believe, or Gruden believes, that Goodell then forced the Raiders to, basically Gruden got to resign, actually, but forced them out, because Mark Davis first was going to not do anything. He was just going to let this ride. Gruden coached another game after these emails came out, and then another cache of emails were leaked after that. So it was the Goodell part of it that was the whole thing, and that Goodell's kind of blackballed Gruden because of these emails, and that Jerry would. Here's the thing about thumbing your nose at the commissioner, though. What about the other people who were offended by what were in the emails?
Well, mean players?
I would think.
Yeah. I mean, players famously love Gruden, but
it's and that's the weird, like, dichotomy about
this.
Yeah,
all his former players are like, he's the best. You know, I don't know, not all of them, but a lot of them seem to stand up for him. But I don't know if, like, the potential owner of a team that wants to hire him, I don't know if they would say that to him. Like,
right?
Who knows? You know, publicly they have supported him for the most part.
It does seem like that.
Yeah.
And then I think there's also a lot of people out there who would say, listen, that was 2012, those emails. Are people not allowed to change? Are people not allowed to evolve?
Do you see John Gruden evolving?
Yeah.
People, this guy.
John Gruden would be working the fryer at Hooters right now if he could. I just think he's too rich at this point. He might just do it for fun, like as a side hustle.
Is he the coach? I think his first job was Hooters,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, he says he didn't want to quit.
Right. Oh,
his dad made him go to college. He didn't want to. He wanted to work the fryer at Hooters forever. I mean, isn't that every, like, 18-year-old boy's dream?
He doesn't seem like a guy who changes, but he seems very comfortable with who he is.
Right, but again, like, these emails getting leaked probably deserved a lot of self-examination.
Right, and I don't get the sense that that's his jam.
Okay.
I mean, do you think that... Well, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of, like... I've tried to sort of change my outlook on life. I feel like he's not really... Especially because he's a coordinator. He hasn't really addressed any of this.
See, we're never going to know what's in John Gruden's heart.
Right.
But as far as, like, recovering from this scandal and, you know, being a guy that the Dallas Cowboys can put in front and say, this guy's going to be a spokesperson and a face of our organization... I think there's probably more people out there that say give him a second chance than say, oh, what was in those emails was so distasteful that he can't ever be a head coach again. I think we all talk about, or the media tries to tell you, I think, a lot about cancel culture and everyone's getting canceled. Not really. We're a pretty forgiving country, quite frankly. And I think that John Gruden getting a second job would be even further proof of that?
I don't know. I mean, he was in the, it seemed like he was in the mix with the Jets, and the Jets had to come out and shoot it down. Like the Jets.
That, when have the Jets, the Jets are not the moral arbiter of anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if the Jets shoot down John Gruden, can you imagine what other teams are thinking about John Gruden? Like, just the fact that that he was too much baggage for them, of all teams, makes me think, like, there is some baggage here. You dismiss that. I mean, the Cowboys, yes, they seem to go by the beat of their own drum, but they're a big business. Like, they sell that Frisco place. They have the cheerleaders. There's a lot going on. I don't think they're totally PR averse.
855-212-4227. John Gruden, what do you think? And it was actually Lomas Brown who joined us, who is the fantastic player and color analyst for the Detroit Lions, who won a Super Bowl with John Gruden, who told us he thinks he's a great guy. He would definitely give him a second chance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
a lot of players who play for Gruden have said that. Yeah, he's a player. The other thing, too, is Gruden's offense is now ancient in NFL terms. I don't know. He's old. His offense was hot 10 years before McCarthy's offense was hot. Like, it feels like, as far as X's and O's, is Gruden the cutting-edge guy? I mean, maybe. Maybe he was a guru when he came in, but now that's a long time ago.
All right, there you go. John Gruden, what do you think as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Matt Mosley covers the team every day. He thinks it's possible. Bogus is here with headlines. Sorry, that combo went a little long. What do you think about John Gruden of the Cowboys, Bogues?
I love the idea of Jerry Jones spite hiring anybody. Sign me up for that.
That's great.
For the football part, but if he's doing it to get back at Goodell, give it to me.
You like a spite hire?
Absolutely.
Even if it's not the best thing for the football team.
Well, I mean, that's an added bonus for non-Cowboy fans. Like, yeah, hire a guy to take a dig at the commish who may not do a good job and keep your team a non-factor.
Oh, that's awesome. The Giants fan.
Everybody wins.
Okay, got it. Yes. Yeah, I was going to say that there's no way that Cowboy fans, like, what do they care about the axe that Jerry has to grind with Roger Goodell?
Yeah,
innocent
yeah.
bystanders here in some kind of weird revenge war that we don't even understand.
Yeah, but it would be fun. I think if you're a Cowboys fan, it would be fun to make Roger Goodell uncomfortable. I get that. Like, that's
really?
That universe. I think everybody roots against Roger Goodell. That's one thing. I mean, the guy gets booed like crazy at the NFL draft still.
It's
everybody
just 'cause he
hates
gets paid
Roger
so much.
Why do the guys who get drafted love him so much, though? I never understood that.
They're just so happy because they just got
they're
drafted.
Millionaires. Well, now they're millionaires in college, so maybe it's
NBA
different.
Players don't do that to Adam Silver, though.
They do a little bit of that.
They do a little bro handshake.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, they run up to him and, like, bear hug him.
Remember he had back Goodell. Surgery last year and was like, don't pick up the commissioner. And I forgot who the first guy comes in and just, like, tosses him around.
I think, I mean, Goodell, it's because he's such a, he's so obviously like a fake suit that everybody hates Goodell. Like, I don't think that booing is fun, but I've never heard of anybody, man, I really am rooting for Roger Goodell. You're right. The money makes it even worse.
Yeah. He makes $60 million a year or whatever. It's just like,
yeah,
I'm sure his job is probably tough, but any of us would sign up for it.
Oh my God. I don't think his job is tough at all. He gets to go and sit in these owner's boxes. I would love to be commissioner. Everybody would. Be the ultimate job. You could go sit in the owner's box of every game.
He got dragged in front of Congress. It's not the ultimate job.
Oh, it's the ultimate job. Because I think it's like you just lie about concussions and you're
what referee problems?
Yeah. It's easy. Like there's only like three or four things you have to openly lie about and you're fine. You wouldn't want to be commissioner? You guys are crazy.
No, I would want to do it, but I do care what people think and say about me and the biggest
you're
part of that job
business
is
now.
No, I know, but like so taking the bullets for all the owners, like that's what he gets paid for. Like I don't know that I would handle getting booed at every draft site well.
Oh, so you'd be like, don't blame me, blame Dan Snyder.
Well, I mean, I know what the job is, but I'd still feel it.
Well, I think
you
I was
get
actually
booed for $60 million.
Yeah,
that's the easiest.
I think I'm good.
Also, $60 million. I don't think
it's
it is.
Like 10 years of $60 million.
Yeah.
He gets to sit in the owner's box, and they have like shrimp in those boxes.
I know, probably
no joke.
Too.
Like they sometimes even have like real sushi, and he gets all of that. And he never sits in the cold,
no.
Which is so weak of him. But yeah, no, this is he gets to go. Like if I was him, I'd be like, oh, I'm commissioner. I'm going to go to see the Ravens Bills. This is amazing.
Oh, I bet he'll be there. It's funny you say he doesn't sit in the cold. He probably can't sit in a regular seat. Someone to throw a beer can at him.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't always agree.
But yeah, you don't have to wait in bathroom lines. You have that little private bathroom in the owner's box. That is amazing. Yeah, he's living the life. And he gets paid a ton to do this.
I think I'm good.
Lots of perks.
Here's a riddle sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com.
Those are big waffles.
Last night in Atlanta, Trae Young treated the Suns like they were the Knicks.
Trae bouncing it outside with nine.
But he must have lost.
Now he's against Beal. Trae, three-pointer. Bang! That is Trae Young, folks. He has a knack for that kind of thing. It's 117 to 109, the Hawks lead.
You tell him, Steve Holman, Hawks Radio. Trae, a season-high 43 points in a 122-117 decision over the Suns. Phoenix has lost 11 straight in Atlanta. Their last win there, March 24th of 2014.
Are you playing a Trae Young highlight just to troll the Knicks fans over there?
Yes.
You just figured that out today? This has been the whole show.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
Get on this information.
But the first highlight, you're right, is a Trae Young. That is like, you're not even messing around.
Well,
now.
There's
you're
no,
just going for the jugular with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real true lead story today, like a playoff game or anything like that. So I got kind of free reign, and we start with Trae Young.
You suck, Bogus.
Thank you. Jamal Murray scored 45 in the Nuggets 118-93 win in Dallas. Kyrie was back after missing five games with a back issue, but scored just 11 points, missing 14 of 18 shots. Giannis put 30 points, 11 boards, and 13 assists on in the Bucks 131-15, beating of the Kings. That's how Sacramento's seven-game win streak ends. The Pacers' six-game run ending with a 127-117 home loss to the Cavaliers, who got 35 points from Donovan Mitchell. While those Cowboys and Deion make eyes at each other, Mike McCarthy interviews for the Bears' job today. He's expected to meet with the Saints next week. Now, one of the few things that didn't go the Rams' way against the Vikings was losing tight end Tyler Higbee to a chest injury. Sean McVay, a partial update yesterday.
He's doing better. Don't have any more information, but he came back with us. He has full expectation that he'll be ready to go, but I do not have any updates from Reggie yet.
Higbee, that's Reggie Scott, their head trainer. Higbee went to the hospital during the game after spitting up blood, but as McVay said, he was able to return to L.A. with the team. Guys, back to you.
Football's, these guys are a little tough. I don't think I, spitting up blood, and he's like, he's a maybe.
I don't know. Bogus just coughing up blood right now.
Yeah, are you internally bleeding? Here.
I feel much better today, but now I can't talk, so I don't know why I came in today.
Yeah.
This is my payback for a Trae Young joke.
This is the universe getting even with you.
This is Jalen Brunson from afar.
This is Willis Reed, God bless his soul, coming down.
That's who it is.
That is the weakest rival, Trae Young. This is the announcer's like, this is what Trae Young does. Hit big shots in January. Give me a break.
Yep. 5-point win as well, is that right?
Over the Suns?
It was a win, unlike the Knicks losing to the Pistons.
Well, okay, I mean, again, Trae Young doesn't really necessarily win against the Knicks. But sure, go off with your narrative.
Thank you.
How are the Nets doing this year?
They won last night, actually.
Wow.
They've won more recently than the Knicks.
I was going to say.
Did they beat the Thunder?
The best is...
Did the Knicks?
The whole Jimmy Butler saga that's going on in Miami. I don't know if people are really keeping tabs on this.
Yeah.
But it's come to a pretty big, like, dramatic... It's going to come to a dramatic conclusion because Butler's, like, going to Pat Riley and to his face, asking him for the trade and all that stuff. And, like, the only team that can take him is the Nets. They have the cap space because they're openly outright tanking, and they could somehow, which the Nets actually used this to their advantage a couple of years ago, where they took on a lot of terrible contracts from the Lakers and others.
And then
you
clear the space.
And you parlay it into draft picks because the teams have to attach draft picks to take their terrible contracts. Timothy Mozgov, et cetera, et cetera.
Running to Jimmy Butler, the Starbucks in Brooklyn, would be the highlight of my life. That would be amazing.
He's got his own barista. He's not going to
Starbucks. He's never going to a Starbucks. Yeah, exactly, because of that.
But he might wander around Brooklyn. I see the Nets players on the street, but never like the really good ones. I've never saw
what
Durant.
What really good Nets players?
Durant. I never saw Durant or Kyrie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did see.
They're not just walking around.
What's the guy from Baylor, Prince? I saw him every day.
Torian Prince?
Torian Prince.
You knew it was Torian Prince?
Yes, I did.
He was from Baylor. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of here. I'm right now the college basketball expert on this show.
That was impressive. I didn't say it was anything.
Whatever. You were questioning my college basketball knowledge right there.
Parloff watches one Rutgers UCLA game, and he's like, all right, I got a handle
he's
on
like,
everything.
Hey, this Dylan Harper guy. I don't know if you heard about him. He's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, he's only a projected number two pick in the draft.
And then there's Ace Bailey. They've got two good guys.
He's like, I don't know about this Cooper Flag. Like, all right, 855-212-4227. All right, that's our jab at Parloff. See you guys on the phones. Deion Sanders, the Cowboys. Is this smart? And also John Gruden potentially being in the mix. What do you think about that, Cowboy fans? 855-212-4227. Dallas Cowboys need a coach. Deion Sanders, candidate at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. But I got a sense from Cowboy fans they weren't too enthused about this. Feels a little bit more like a sideshow than a real match. Jason is in Montana, wants to weigh in. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We're great. What's up?
I think if Jerry Jones is going to go all in, he needs to pull whatever strings he pulled back in the day to make the Minnesota deal. I say he signs Deion Sanders to a 4-year contract and just gives up all those draft picks. Use all those draft picks to go get Shaquille and Hunter. Because we're not going to need free agents anymore. I mean, we're not going to need draft picks anymore because all the free agents are going to want to come to Dallas to play for Deion Sanders.
Jason, yeah, Shador and Travis.
And Shaquille.
Definitely not getting them both.
I like that. That's a George Costanza running the Yankees play.
I know how to get Griffey and Bonds and not even give up that much. Great.
Yeah, I mean, they got three big players. If you want to do a trade, who would they trade? Like, Dak is obviously not attractive because of his salary and his, like, injury, and he has a no-trade clause. I don't think could you offer CeeDee Lamb to get up to number three?
I mean, you're offering future draft picks, right? Like, this is...
Well, say, yeah, but, like, I was thinking a Herschel Walker trade. What if you called the Titans? Honestly, how about that? Who says no in that deal?
Offer them who? CeeDee
Lamb
Dak.
And well, Dak, forget. Nobody's taking Dak.
Like, I don't know. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks out there, but...
Oh,
I get it. I'm with you. I want to see what Dak looks like before we...
I think like, what if you offered CeeDee Lamb... I don't know if you could do this.
Parsons would be the one, but
they're not offering Parsons.
Well,
I mean, that's
okay,
crazy.
But you're asking, like, what's the thing? If you offered the Cleveland Browns or the Titans, I don't know, but maybe you don't even have to go all the way up to one. Maybe Cam Ward's going number one overall. But if you offered Micah Parsons, we're talking.
I don't think a team would do that because then that team has to pay Micah Parsons and they get none of the salary cap benefits of the top pick. And they want a quarterback anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
listen,
are we trying to shoehorn this thing in? Definitely. But if you're asking what's the most tradable asset to try to get that Herschel Walker deal, it's Micah Parsons.
No,
more than CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. But I mean, what is the one thing, like, the most of the trade value is based on what do I have to pay the guy? So obviously I don't know, but at least they have CeeDee Lamb under some cost certainty. Like, do you really want to trade for Micah Parsons and pay him $200 million?
But here's the thing. CeeDee Lamb doesn't tilt the field enough for me. He's a fantastic receiver. I wish he was on my team, but he doesn't tilt the field in a way that I think Parsons can.
Yeah. But no. But I don't think, first of all, I don't think Dallas is letting go of Parsons. And you can't give up the chance to draft a quarterback to pay Micah Parsons. That wouldn't make any sense. Yeah, we're just trying to get Shador and Travis and Shaquille O'Neal into Dallas. So we got to do something radical.
Listen, we all knew what he was talking about.
No, I'm going to knock your ass out.
Al's in Houston. Al, you have a thought for Jerry Jones, how to entice Deion?
I wish I did. Part of it would be let go of his Texas Pies for a little bit, but I know that's not going to happen. I appreciate you guys, man. Have a great conversation. The only thing I would throw out is it means to me as somebody who had been a fan and really got interested but realized that Jerry wants a lot of the credit, wants a lot of the glory. We already got through the Jerry Johnson situation. If he can work on that, could he find himself saying, look, because I'm the type of guy, look at a managing standpoint. Look, we can look at Buffalo, but we can Colorado. We can also look and say, okay, what if you extrapolate, if you put our Corn Ferry hat on real quick and extrapolate what we look at and be honest, say, is he a decent manager? Do we see what he's doing? Can he do that same thing in this corporate organization? And when I look at Deion, I'm like, yeah, he can still execute the job as an executive, as a coach, but also as a person who can actually bring more eyes, bring more passion back to the Cowboys. And in my case, you know, give me hope that they can actually do better in the playoffs.
Al, I'm sorry, we're up against it, but I applaud you because you sound like someone we would all like to work for. You sound like a good manager. You bring up Corn Ferry.
Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys are a Corn Ferry team, though, are they? We have to check that.
I don't know, but Al sounds like, you know, somebody who's thinking about this from a global perspective. Yeah. Like, is Deion Sanders somebody who can come in and be the CEO of a football team? And I think the answer to that is obviously yes.